from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Doubleheader at 3:05. As soon as we get the lineups, we will share them with you. But let's talk about the defending AFC North champions. Got to the AFC Championship game last year, trying to take that next step from BaltimoreSports.com. Let's welcome back to the show Todd Karpovich. Todd, good morning. What's happening?
What's up, Bob? It's very hot out here at Orange Mills, I'll tell you that.
Well, the football action will be hotter, we hope, there, Todd Karpovich. But Lamar came back over the weekend after being ill for a few days there. And I guess, first padded stuff since maybe the AFC Championship game. How old number 8 look out there in his first day?
He looked pretty good. He didn't look sick. That's the thing. He was out here on Wednesday when he first came out. He stayed out here for about an hour. And he just wasn't himself. And then, he took the next day off. And then he came back on Saturday. And he looked healthy. I think he's over the hump with the sickness, hopefully. And, they got pads on, so the intensity ramped up a little bit. He threw an interception to Marlon Humphrey. But that's the reason the Ravens' concerns. They just need Lamar to make it through training camp fully healthy and ready for that Chiefs game on September 5th.
Now, with Rashad Bateman and Lamar, the communication issues or chemistry or lack thereof, I guess, has been more, Todd, of a talking point. And Bateman, and you were there, and we'll get your thoughts here in a second about how he's looked. But Lamar wasn't really throwing him the ball. Is there any concern there within the warehouse, or not the warehouse, the castle, that Lamar and Bateman just can't seem to get on the same page for whatever reason?
John Harbaugh totally downplayed that when he was asked about them not getting on the same page with Bateman. I think it's just a matter of who was getting so many targets. With Lamar out this past week, Bateman got a ton of targets from the backups, and he caught everything that went his way. So we'll see how it goes here when Lamar's back at practice, how much he targets Bateman. But Rashad's looked really good over this past week. He's a guy, he signed an extension. So he's going to be here, so that takes some pressure off him as far as that goes. But, I still think Zay Flowers is the number one receiver. But Rashad Bateman, so far, he's looked pretty good. Now he has to show he can do it in the game.
Now, Todd, how does Andrews look health-wise? Because we know he got hurt in the Bengals game on that Thursday night and was limping around, it seemed, in the championship game against KC. So how's he looking health-wise? And I guess the most important question is, how do he and likely coexist in Todd Monken's pass offense 2024?
Yeah, Andrews said he's 100%. And, it's funny because he's running really well. And Todd Monken was like, he wants the ball every play, which is unrealistic. So he looked really good. His blocking looked good. I do think we're going to see a lot of 2 tight end sets with Andrew and Likely, because Likely can line up like a wide receiver. He can get downfield. He's got the speed and height, where he can play, he can play like a wide out. So essentially, the Ravens, they'll go to the 2 tight end set, but, they use Likely out wide. I think there'll be plenty of targets for both those guys. Likely's a guy who has also looked very good in camp. He's catching everything. So he's a guy who can be poised for a breakout year if he gets on the field. Now, the question is, his blocking, but I think he's working on that too, because in this Ravens offense, tight ends need to block. So that's certainly a consideration.
You mentioned blocking. Todd Karpovich, BaltimoreSports.com, project The starting five on the O-line right now is where, what, August 9th is the preseason opener against Philly.
Well, yeah, you say you got Stanley at left tackle and Linderbaum at center. I do think Voorhees is going to take that spot. I think right now, maybe Ben Cleveland in the other guard spot, and then, you know, and then Rosengarten, the rookie, at right tackle. But we'll see. The pads went on. The Harbaugh said he wanted to have this offensive line set by the first preseason game. But that might be unrealistic as far as what these guys are doing. There's the depth they have there. They have multiple guys moving around. Ferrari is a guy they have playing the guard right now. So he's a guy who could step in and be a starter because of his size. They like him there so far. So, yeah, it's a work in progress right now. I don't think this offensive line is going to be really set until maybe the second preseason game the way it's going.
Now, Todd, with the Patrick McCary, and he can literally play all five offensive line positions and do it well enough that the Ravens gave him a contract extension. But if he had his choice, would he prefer to be a starter somewhere?
He wants to start at tackle. But the Ravens, they see his value and being able to play a position in the field when guys get hurt. He's got to step in. There's also some concerns about his back, you know, how well he can hold up over 17 games as a starter. So that's a consideration. Now, the Ravens like him. They like his versatility. However, they like him in that swing role. And whether, you know, I think they got to sort of talk him into it and tell him about the value there is in being able to play multiple positions. But, yeah, he's a guy – I think he, you know, he's a guy who will be in the mix for a starting job. But I think the Ravens ultimately are going to let him come up, be a swing guy, and back up the tackles and then the guards.
If the offensive line was a concern for you, Todd, going into camp at least a week in, are you a little more calm, or is it still kind of a DEFCON 2 situation there with that?
I think a little more calm because of the talent they have. They have Derrick Henry in the backfield.
Sure. He'll
make this guy look good. And, you know, Lamar can run. And Lamar, you know, he's entering his seventh season. So he can guy, if he gets rid of the ball quickly, it's going to be okay. I think the talent they have on offense at the positions with the running backs and the tight ends and sort of the wide receivers and, of course, the quarterback, they'll be able to mask some of those some of those weaknesses early in the season as these guys get their feet going. But I think the offensive line is coming along, let me put it that way.
Todd Karpovich, BaltimoreSports.com, joining us on the Fan. Bob Haney with you here on this Monday. Let's get to the defense, and in particular, Dape Owe. What are you seeing so far from him? As you know, a lot of people would like to see him, Ravens most importantly, get into that 8 to 10 sack range here in his fourth season.
He might have been the best player on the defense last week, the way he played. In fact, at one point during the week, John Harbaugh had to pull him aside and said, man, you got to rein in a little bit. These guys are still learning the offense. You're in the backfield so much. Now, presumably, they can't hit the quarterbacks. But, yeah, he's also racking a bunch of sacks, you know, without hitting the quarterback. So, he acknowledges that, you know, they lost Jadeveon Clowney, who had 9.5 sacks last year. The Ravens got to make that up. Can Owe be 9.5 sacks guy? I don't know, but I think he's a guy who can get to 6 or 7 the way he's playing. So we'll see. I think he understands the importance of being able to get to the quarterback. And all the Ravens also are really counting on David Ajabo, another guy, stay healthy and be a guy and get to the quarterback. Now I asked Zach Orr about that. Where do you make up the difference for the 9.5 sacks Clowney left? And Orr said, we're going to try to get it from multiple ways. To get it from the defensive line, get it from the linebackers, and get it from, you know, how Hamilton's got to get to the quarterback. So I think they're going to mix and match a little bit. But again, Owe's a guy, you know, I think you're going to see a stronger season for him as far as sacks go.
How would you stand on defense, Todd? How would you consider Travis Jones in the breakout candidate category? Is he one of those dudes for you or no?
Very high, because I think Madubuike is going to get more double teams this year. Because he had 13 sacks last year, and teams got to account for him. And Travis Jones had a really good camp, and he's a guy, you know, John Harbaugh and Zach Orr have singled out, saying he's a guy who can really break out and be a guy who can get to the quarterback more this year because of the emphasis on that Madubuike.
All right, last thing for you, Todd Karpovich, out of one winning drive. Ravens back on the practice field today. Lamar going to meet with the media later on in the afternoon as well. If there's a concern, as you see it, with the club, still what, a couple weeks away from the preseason opener and, you know, a little more than a month before Kansas City, what would it be? What's the number one area that might need to be addressed before they kick off at Arrowhead?
Well, it was depth at safety, but they signed Eddie Jackson, took care of that need. I think the secondary is really good. Right now, I would say I would have to say the offensive line. It's probably the biggest work in progress, and it's the only position group right now where the stars pretty much aren't entrenched. So, yeah, the offensive line's got to come together. That's where I would see the biggest concern.
Todd Karpovich, tell our listeners what's happening at BaltimoreSports.com on this Monday.
BaltimoreSports.com at the Ravens every day leading up to the regular season opener against the Chiefs. And you can find me at Ty Karpovich on Twitter.
Todd, appreciate the time as always. Have fun out there.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, Ty Karpovich. It's Vinny at Haney, 1057 The Fan. Bob Haney with you, Vinny's off this week. Nolan McGraw's here as well. We'll come back and whip around what happened in the world of sports over the weekend, what happened in the world of sports historically. It's July 29th. Let's just say a lot of cool Oriole stuff took place.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Top of the whip around here on this Monday. It's Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Vinny is off this week. Maryland Hoops open their regular season, men, November 4th against Manhattan at the Xfinity Center. I believe I saw this on the interweb a couple of days ago. We're less than 100 days away from the start of college basketball. Yeah, baby. Tell you, Nolan, that Christmas tree's coming up before you know it, dude. Don't be there ready to rock and roll. By the way, my inflatable pool popped over the weekend, but that's a story we'll get to during the Funhouse coming up in about 20 minutes or so. But announced today by the University of Maryland, Terps will take on Syracuse on December the 21st, Barclays Center, the 2024 Gotham Classic. So Syracuse and Maryland will renew acquaintances on the hardwood coming up in December. Maryland football, if you were watching the game or at the game yesterday, you saw Mike Locksley was there throw out the first pitch, and he was actually in the broadcast booth with Jeff Arnold and Ben McDonald when the Orioles were putting up that sixth spot. Coach should have stayed for the rest of the game. A little positivity, but Maryland football starts this week as they prepare for a UConn August 31st. Terps trying to get to their fourth straight bowl game. But Mike Locksley, and hopefully we'll be talking to him soon. And as he said on the show yesterday, or on the ball game, you know, we're trying to take it to another level. Winning bowl games are nice, but, you know, it's time to start competing for little championships. When it's all said and done, speaking of championships, Canelo Alvarez will defend his super middleweight championship coming up in September the 14th against Edgar Berlanga. Berlanga started his career with 16 straight wins, all at first-round knockouts. Still undefeated, but as the competition level increased, so did the difficulty of the matches. So he's really going to move up in class as he takes on Canelo Alvarez September 14th. In Las Vegas. And if you missed it over the weekend and you have, you know, the Four Letter Network Plus and you want to look at some good fights over the weekend, Derek Chisora against Joe Joyce. Chisora pulls the upset, unanimous decision, but it was a spirited scrape as both dudes eating a lot of leather on Saturday in London. Olympic Games, and we're going to have a full-on Olympic update for you coming up in a couple of minutes. But the men on the hardwood, taking on Serbia and Nikola Jokic, and after an interesting first half, U.S. pulls away. But the dude that led the way from the opening tap was a Maryland native.
Screen, there
James
you go.
Looking, finding, Durant fading, Durant hitting!
Oh my! Oh my! Kevin Durant owning Lille in the first half. 21 points for Durant, 8 for 8 from the floor.
And finished, 8 for 9 from the floor, 23 points, as the U.S. wins over Serbia, 110-84. Kevin Durant been battling some injuries, but he came back, and he was pull-up threes. He was hitting threes from the corner, from the elbow. He was doing everything he could do to give them a boost, the United States. And as we said, it was a close game until about 3 minutes left in the first half, and then the USA, they put it on them. LeBron James had 21 in the win for the United States. Nikola Jokic had 20 for Serbia. Next game for the United States club is against South Sudan on a Wednesday. So there you go. Isn't that the team that almost beat them last week? So if I was a betting man, and I am, and I'm usually wrong, this is going to be a puffy pants hammer time. I think a little redemption coming your way. Coco Gauff won in tennis in straight sets. One of the flag bearers for the United States, 6-3, 6-0. Simone Biles, even though she's limping around a little bit, she had the top score in the all-around. She'll be going for the individual and team gold medals as the week and the games progress. Just started in earnest on this Friday past. Again, got an Olympic update coming your way here in a couple of minutes. It is the Whip Around here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's July the 29th. And what happened on this day? Well, let's see. 1988. The Baltimore Orioles traded Mike Boddicker, their last 20-game winner to date. Happened 40 years ago, as a matter of fact. Mike Boddicker was shipped to Boston for Brady Anderson and Curt Schilling. We know Brady became an Oriole Hall of Famer. Schilling might be a Hall of Famer. Cooperstown, when it's all said and done. But Curt Schilling and Boddicker helped the Red Sox win two American League East championships, so a trade turned out well for them. But on January 10th, 1991, Curt Schilling was part of maybe the worst trade in Orioles history, or one of them, as he, Pete Harnish, and Steve Finley went to the Astros for Glenn Davis. And full disclosure, on January 10th, 1991, 26-year-old Bobster was cool with that trade. Until Harnish, Schilling, and Finley all became all-stars, and Glenn Davis was hurt all the time and didn't do really jack squat for the Birds during his time here. On this date in Orioles history, 1974, 50 years ago, Memorial Stadium, Mark Belanger drove in too. Paul Blair, Don Baylor also had ribbies, and our buddy Ross Grimsley goes 8 strong for his 12th win, 6-2 Orioles over the Brujas. 1983, Memorial Stadium, Rich Dower. He went deep. Eddie Murray, 2 for 4, 3 ribbies. Cal Ripken, 3 for 4, 3 runs scored. Sammy Stewart got the win in relief of Storm Davis, 8-6 Orioles over the Rangers, 1997. Oriole Park, Camden Yards against Texas. Cal Ripken goes deep. Rappy goes 2-for-4, 2 ribbies against his former team. Rick Kribda gets the win. Arthur Rhodes picked up his 5th save, 5-4 Orioles over the Texas Ball Club, 2012. Oriole Park, Camden Yards against the A's. And by the way, the A's were good in 2012. They made the playoffs, as a matter of fact. Matt Wieters, he hits a 3-run homer, and you get a quarter for knowing this. Omar Quintanilla hit a home run for the Orioles. Wei-Yin Chen picked up W6-1 Orioles in a handily over Oakland. And then 10 years ago today, Oriole Park, Camden Yards, 12th inning, Manny Machado hits a walk-off of solo homer as the Orioles stunned the Angels 7-6. Jonesy and Nick Markakis also went deep. Ryan Webb gets the win in relief. 7-6 Orioles over the Angels. That was the year that Anaheim or Los Angeles, whatever, they made the playoffs for the only time during the Mike Trout era and got swept by Kansas City, who would then sweep the Orioles in the ALCS. But that was 10 years ago today. Manny, who would wind up getting hurt, I think, within the next couple of weeks of this season, who was in town, hit a 3-run jack on Saturday night. Manny Machado wins it for the Birds of Baltimore. When we come back, going to talk about the current day Orioles with Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. Struggle City for the Orioles in July, about to have their first losing full month since September of 2022. We'll talk about the trade deadline. Blake Snell and the Orioles starting to be in the same sentence. What's going on there? Funhouse 1145 with Nolan McGraw. They're going to feed you some Ravens football with news from the nest at noon. Analyze the trades, look ahead to the hot stove a little bit more from the Baltimore Banner. Let's welcome back to the show Andy Koska. Andy, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, the trades. Look back at the Phillies and then Tampa. Eflin going today. We'll start with him, I guess. The Orioles, what they gave up to get Eflin. Who's going to be the key for Tampa in that trade if things pan out the way they hope?
Well, honestly, it's an incredibly affordable deal for Baltimore. You know, they get a starter they, you know, really like under team control for 2025 and Zach Eflin. They don't have to give up a very high-ranking prospect. Matt Horvat is probably the most notable of the names, although he's 23 in high A, hitting 230-ish right now. So has not been, you know, hitting the laces off the ball. You know, maybe he... With big pedigree, UNC college guy, can steal bases, hit for power. Maybe it comes together for him in Tampa. Edsel was an interesting move that the Orioles included. He is not I don't even think he was technically ranked, but they sold high on Edsel. He's played great this season in the minors. So that is another outfielder that has gone from the organization. But Baltimore has so many guys that this is what it takes. You know, you're going to have to part with somebody, and they avoided parting with the likes of, Kyle Stowers or Heston Kerstad. If Tampa wanted outfielders, you know, they didn't have to part with the top quality, outfield prospects. So overall, I mean, it's a great trade. There was a pitcher in there as well. I mean, I think it's a good trade for Baltimore. You get a guy like Zach Eflin who, you know, we'll see him today in game one here pretty soon. Does not walk guys. You know, he's in 110 innings, has walked 13 batters this season. And we asked him, you know, what's the kind of key to that? A lot of that is, he said, he just hates walking people. but what the actual key to that is he has just tremendous command. 6 pitches. He hits the edge of the zone. He pitches on the edge of the zone about 46% of the time. And the major league average is all the way down at about 37%. So it's pretty impressive to see what he's been able to do. You know, so much his ability to work the edges of the strike zone are better than almost any pitcher in the majors. So sometimes that, you know, he's in the zone so much that sometimes, you know, there can be hits because of that. You know, a guy lives in the zone forever. You know, definitely a pitch to contact guy. He's not going to strike a lot of guys out, but you don't really need strikeouts all the time. You know, different pitchers work different ways, and the Eflin pickup, you know, we'll see. But the fact that it answers a question, you know, for 2024, And then it also answers the question for 2025. It's a great pickup.
Now, Andy, with starting pitching, we know that Corbin Burns is a free agent after this season, and you know that's something we'll address at the appropriate time. With the move for Eplin, is that going to be end game for Mike Elias pursuing starting pitching? Because just reading and hearing, and you've got your, you know, you got your sources too. Blake Snell's name's been mentioned. I know he's got options that he could exercise after the season. Where's Blake Snell fit in? Possibly to Baltimore. If it's not Blake Snell, who could the other starting pitchers be on Elias's radar here?
Yeah, there's a lot of starting pitchers that are possible. The Cardinals are interested in Eric Fetty. For a long time, I kind of thought the O's would be a great fit for Eric Fetty, but with the addition of Eflin, they're kind of in a similar peer, Eflin and Fetty, and I think they chose Eflin. But you know, maybe that limits a little bit on them pursuing Eric Fetty here. I would not rule the Orioles out on just about anybody. They have, you know, with the Eflin trade, that's $18 million next year on the payroll, which is a massive bump in what they have done. It shows that the David Rubenstein-led group is willing to expand payroll, as Mike Elias said he would be. The danger with a lot of these guys. So Crochet, let's start with Garrett Crochet. If he is going to be pitching into October as a rotation arm, he's going to need a contract extension, despite being under team control for a couple more years. So that is, you know, something that the, you know, Baltimore hasn't necessarily done to this level, is extend a guy even when they are under team control. So maybe that, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's a new ownership group, so we'll see. But it is somewhat of a barrier to have, you know, a definite desire for, you know, basically stating that he needs a contract extension. Tarik Skubal under team control with the Tigers for a couple more years. That is, I would be incredibly shocked if Tarik Skubal is the guy, because it would take a massive, massive haul. And Baltimore is really unwilling to trade, and understandably and rightly so, they're unwilling to trade. Starting with Jackson Holliday, going to Colby Mayo, going to Samuel Basayo, you know, kind of the top three hitting prospects in the organization, don't seem that they're going to move any of those guys, probably for good reason. Then there is the Blake Snell, as you mentioned. Yeah. He has a option for next season that would be $31 million. That is a player option. And, you know, the assumption is that he is going to back out of that option. But because it is a player option, let's, you know, imagine the worst thing happens and Blake Snell suffers an injury that, you know, would impact how much he pitches either this season or next season. He could pick that option up and make, you know, the $31 million. That's a big risk for Baltimore. It would be a massive show of confidence in this group for 2024 to add a guy like Blake Snell, who is a Cy Young, you know, quality pitcher, could immediately fit alongside Burns as an ace in this organization. He is a rental. How much are you willing to give up for a potential rental? Because if he pitches great in 2024, he's probably going to decline the option, hit the open market. Those are all things to consider. There's a lot that goes into all of this. I don't know. You know, I don't think anybody truly knows at this point. But you know, options are still being weighed. There's definitely interest in another starting pitcher. If it comes together, we'll see.
Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. All right, let's get to the team, the way they're playing right now. Worst month they've had since September of 2022. First losing full month unless they sweep the Blue Jays. And I don't know, Andy, where do we start? Shaky bullpen, inconsistent rotation, defense is taking a hike on them, runners in scoring position, not their friend. Of the malaise, if you want to call it that, they've been in, what is the most concerning trend to you as we're wrapping up July?
Well, maybe the good thing is it's happening all at one point. If everything happens at the same time, maybe everything comes back at the same time. But it's really not, I mean, as you rattled off those things, it's not one thing. You know, we're not pointing to, oh, just the defense, you know, just the hitting, just the pitching. Everything has kind of hit a rough patch, and we're seeing it now. They won yesterday, but even that win, you know, was high drama. They won in Miami the final game of that series, and they had a 6-0 lead just like they had yesterday, and suddenly the lead vanishes, and it takes extra innings to win. I mean, there's kind of never a dull moment with this team right now. To answer your actual question of which maybe concerns the most, the defense. I mean, it's you know, like Albert Suarez yesterday, you know, should, you know, three runs in 4 2/3, he might have worked deeper, or at least kept the score down a little bit, you know, a little bit more if one of those, you know, an error doesn't happen. Gunnar, you know, throws the ball away. He has 15 errors this season, which is the most in the American League and also the most of his career, which is a very short career. So take that with a grain of salt. Part of the reason why he's having these errors is, I think number one is, he hasn't had a day off in so long. With Jorge Mateo injured, there's not a like-for-like replacement at shortstop. Jordan Westberg can play there, and he has been taking some ground balls before games. So I think there's a little bit of fatigue that's playing into it. Gunnar would not take that excuse, of course. He's a gamer, loves to be in there. Another factor in it is these are aggressive plays he's trying to make. It's not like he's sitting back on the ball, and I think that is something you can take solace in if you are the O's, is that, you know, Gunnar is not tentative out there. He's not, you know, you saw the play, the diving play up the middle yesterday where he spins over and throws it to first and makes a miraculous play. I mean, those are aggressive plays and he makes them, you know, he's phenomenal. But then when you're making those aggressive moves, you know, like he has a couple of times, sometimes those balls sail on him, and especially across the body throws when he's moving to his right, throwing sidearm back to his left, we're seeing those balls sail a little bit. Twice yesterday, he had throwing errors. It will steady out, you imagine, at some point. But yeah, it's a little bit of a concern. You know, this is a team that has for so long been hey, if your pitchers get weak contact, and some of it's not weak contact, but ground balls at guys, it's going to be an out, and that has helped the pitching staff so much, worked deep into games, been the starting rotation has been, you know, great at the first 3 months of the season because of that. Now it's not as much of a guarantee. You know, the deep fly ball to Heston Kerstad a couple of days ago, tough play, you know, he's going back a long way, but he also ran, his first step was in the wrong direction. He gets his glove to it. It's in the glove, but he's kind of falling backwards as he's catching it. It falls out. Was ruled a double, which was rather surprising. That should be an error. And if I was Bert Smith, I think he was on the mound at the time, I would be wondering why it wasn't ruled an error, because it goes as an earned run against him. you know, I think that is maybe the most surprising thing, is the fact that the defense has been as unsteady as it has been. Everything else is not that much of a surprise, because you lose Danny Coulomb, you lose Tyler Wells, John Means, and Kyle Bradish. You expected the pitching staff to take a step back in quality, and they're going to address it these next 2 days. They've already addressed it some with Sir Anthony Dominguez from the Philadelphia Phillies, who has looked, in 2 games, has looked pretty good. Zach Eflin starts today. Probably one or two more pitchers coming in, be it a left-handed reliever. Tanner Scott could be an option from the Miami Marlins to return to Baltimore. They're going to address that, and I think it will help. But it's not going to be an overhaul of the lineup, and by extension, the fielding. And I do wonder, you know, some of these guys might need a day off just to reset a little bit and try to make the easy play. And sometimes, you know, as much as you love to see Gunnar and you want him to play with his hair on fire and to make big plays in big moments, sometimes eating a ball instead of throwing it could be the better option. But it'll all work out. He's a 22-year-old. He's playing phenomenally over the course of the entire season. This is a blip. You know, it happens to the best of us. So I'm not too concerned, but yeah, it is noticeable.
Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner, talking some Orioles. Andy, as always, appreciate the time. Enjoy the doubleheader today. We're at Park Cannon Yards, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you. Thank you.
You got it. Andy Koska, everybody. So he said, hey, just calm down. Everything's happening at once, and they'll start to settle things down as maybe soon as today. Taking on the Toronto Blue Jays, coming in winners of three in a row. American League East report coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. When we come back, reset the program. Got news from the nest at 12 o'clock. Talk Ravens. They're back on the practice field today, as we talked about with Todd Karpovich in the 11 o'clock hour, or earlier in this hour, I should say. And buy or sell coming up at 12:15. Where's the early week money? Let's count it up here on the Fan. NFL lunch coming up at 1. American League East report at 1:15, look at the scores over the weekend, give you the standings updates, talk about the stat breakdown between the Orioles and Blue Jays, game one of that doubleheader coming up at 3:05, and Gabe Lax from USA Today, we'll talk some baseball with him as he previews the trade deadline with us as well. So a lot to get to there. I know we don't have time for a full-on funhouse. Nolan, we'll save that for next hour, but any thoughts about what's going on with your Birds of Baltimore, the original Birds, heading into this doubleheader today? And Zach Eflin making his debut in an Orioles uniform. By the way, the Orioles made it official. Kate Povich called up. He'll pitch game two.
Right. Excited to see what Eflin can do today. You look at his numbers on the season. There's been some blow-up starts. There's been some starts that you look at and say, I don't know about that. But you do like other things overall. The lack of walks is huge, especially for some of the way the pitchers on this team have been performing as of late. To get a guy that you know is going to go out there, is not going to nibble around anyone. He's going to attack. He knows how to work. That's huge. And the only thing, because I said earlier, I love the trade. The more I think about it, the only thing that I don't like is that you're dealing with Tampa and their history when it comes to selling on some of their pitchers. They usually know who to get in return. So I sort of fear that maybe a couple years from now, you know, Mac Horvath or some of these other guys that they've given up to get Eflin may be pestering the Orioles for years to come.
Well, Nolan, we'll worry about that in a couple of years. And Zach Eflin hopefully helps the Orioles repeat as American League East champions and make a deep run into the postseason, not just this year, but next year, since he is signed through 2025. News from the Nest coming up next. And then it's buy or sell. Let's count some cash here on this Monday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.